Only the Rambam could traverse 2,000 years in a single leap. He opens the second segment, the way Rav Shailat publishes it, the second segment of the Hagdama LeMishnah. The Rambam had just told us about the dramatic shift from Torah in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu to Torah in the post-Moshe period, the last 3,500 years. And now he turns our attention, and now he highlights the major difference. Dakia nevuah eina mo'ila, near the top of page Chav Tes of the big bays. Pay attention, Rambam says. Nevuah doesn't help the Iyun Perish HaTorah. You cannot use nevuah in figuring out and trying to understand what the Torah means, or technically speaking, in understanding the core of the Torah Shva Peh, the Perish. You cannot use nevuah in extracting dinim from the Ketuvim using the Yudum Yishatara Dreshin thing. You can't use nevuah in learning. You can't use nevuah in darshini. You cannot use nevuah in Paskin. Ella and Hiri jumps a couple thousand years in a single sentence. Mashiyasu Yoshua Upichas, the Indian, Iyam Dahekish, who has a Yashur Binurvash. What Yehoshua and Pinchas would do in the world of learning, in the world of the Beis Medrash, is exactly the same thing to what? Well, it's exactly the same thing that Ravina Rashi would do. Why do you mean? If you open a Rambam, Mishnah Torah, fantastic. Yaakov reminds us that if you open up the Mishnah Torah at the very, very, very beginning, before he starts Hilchos Yesodei Torah, Perek Aleph, and Perek Beis, and so on and so forth, he has a number of introductory pages. At the very beginning of the introductions is an actual introduction, introduction to Torah Shebaal Peh, sort of like what he has here. And he introduces the idea of Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh, and talks about the history of Halacha, and as he does here. And the Hagdamah to Mishnah Torah is much more concise and much less conversational than the Hagdamah to Pirush HaMishnah. And he has there something that he alludes to here, which is he lists the chain, the first 40 links in the chain of Masorah. From Moshe Rabbeinu learning Mipi Agvura to Yoshua and so on and so forth. And you see Shmuel teaching David. It keeps going, it keeps going, it keeps going. Throughout the period of the Bayi Sheni, the Zugos, the first parak of Pirkei Avos, all the way into the later Tanaim, into the Amoraim, down to the end of the Amoraim, Chasimus HaTalmud, at the hands of Ravina and Ravashi. And he gives it a list forwards and backwards. He's very focused on that list. 40 links in the chain. So the second person on that chain is Yehoshua. The 40th are Ravina and Ravashi. So the Rambam is being very specific and say what Yehoshua and Pinchas would do, all the way second link in the chain, is the same as what Ravina or Rashi would do around 2,000 years later. He's not giving the first link in the chain, because Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't doing the same thing. Moshe Rabbeinu was learning Torah based on Nevuah, Mipi Agvura. But from the second link and on, even though from Yehoshua to Pinchas, is around 2,000 years, a totally different part of the world, a totally different language, totally different ways of expressing themselves. There were certainly many, many, many more sfeikos in halacha, obviously, in the days of Ravina and Rashi than in the days of Yehoshua. Yehoshua had learned Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu. Yehoshua had stood at Har Sinai. Yehoshua had witnessed Yitzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf. Yehoshua had eaten man for 40 years. And Ravina and Rashi, obviously none of those. Ravina Rashi never saw Yitzias Mitzrayim. Ravina Rashi were not physically present at Har Sinai. Ravina Rashi were never zolche to learn Torah mipi Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeshua was for 40 years. Ravina Rashi, not at all. Ravina Rashi probably never lived in Eretz Yisrael either. Ravina Rashi and Yehoshua gave shir in very different languages. Obviously, they both gave shir in Yiddish. But other than that, obviously, Yehoshua ben Nun gave shir in a pristine biblical Hebrew. Ravina Rashi probably gave shir in Aramaic. They dressed differently, they looked different, but they were keeping the same halacha and fundamentally involved in the same process of learning.
even though Yoshua Mamish was a direct Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Yoshua lived at the very beginning of the era of Jewish Nevuah. Ravina Rashi lived 1,000 years later. But all of that is irrelevant in terms of the process, the toolkit they had for figuring out the halacha. Mashi Yasu Yoshua Pinchas Be'in Ha'in V'Hekish Hu Asher Yasu Ravina Ravashi. Nevuah is irrelevant. We were talking yesterday about the Gemara in Bava Metzia, where Yeshua stands, Amar Yeshua Raglav, when Rabbi Elezer is bringing all these miraculous riyas, probably in the Yeshiva in Yavne, that he is correct. Yeshua says, Lo Bashamayimi. Aye, but then the question is, and then what's the purpose of the Navi? If Nevuah is irrelevant for Halacha, that is, starts to yesterday, that's what we, part of why we reject Christianity, part of why we reject Islam, because the claim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke again, after speaking to Moshe, spoke again to some other Navi and edited and modified through a subsequent Navi what he had told to Moshe Rabbeinu, we reject that claim as spurious. And that's one of the many reasons why we reject Christianity and Islam on their face. So then what is a Navi for? Amnam Yisrim HaNavi O'Pala B'Torah Mahu. What advantage does a Navi bring to the table? And what is his role within a halachic system? This is one of the great principles that our religion depends on. That's interesting because how much do we think about, how many hours do we spend a day, a week learning? Plenty. How much time do we spend thinking about Nevuah? Probably very little. Because the Rambam says something very surprising, which is understanding Nevuah, this is one of the major foundations that halacha depends on. Wow. And I never would have thought that's such an important topic. It's like interesting. So like, you know, I would say like Nevuah is like a Shavuos night topic. You know, Leil Shavuos, you always have Shiurim on topics that are sort of off the beaten path. Like, oh, that's interesting. I never thought about that. That's curious. That's exciting. I never would have thought of Nevuah as a part of a mainstream standard Jewish Torah curriculum. It's like an interesting sidebar. Rambam says, no. Says, I think now is the time to explain it. And he says, to explain the role of Nevuah, I have to do something, which we are going to do, skip over, walk through lightly. He says, in order to appreciate the role of a Navi and the power of a Navi within the system of Halacha, a post-Moshe Navi, a non-Moshe Navi, he says, you first have to understand how you certify Navi. As I said in the past, some of you took the subway yesterday. I don't know if any of you had that experience. So they have a fellow come over to you and be a toein nevuah, as the Rambam puts it. We spend a lot of time in Bava Basra on toein v'nitan, people of Tainus. Rambam uses the same language here. A person is a toein nevuah. He claims to be a Navi. How do you certify a Navi? Just because a guy says that he's a Navi doesn't mean that the halacha is nevuah applied to him. We do believe Ani Mamin number 6 is nevuah exists. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does communicate with human beings at times. Ani Mamin number 7 is the specific, unique supremacy of Nevuah's Moshe Rabbeinu. But just because Nevuah exists doesn't mean that it's ubiquitous. There are Nevi'im. Not everyone's a Navi. Not everyone that says he's Navi is Navi, obviously. So that creates an interesting question. Rami says it's not just an interesting question, how do I certify Navi? He says if we could figure that one out, that actually will give us the key to understand Nevuah in general. And in turn, let's dig in even deeper, in order to understand how you certify Navi, even before we get to that, first question is, let's think about the different claims to Nevuah. A fellow shows up and claims to be a Navi, the first thing to do is to look at what he's saying, is that even eligible? The Rambam goes on to say, take a look. Lo Yitachin, we're not going to be able to understand the significance in a Torah, in a halachic system of Nevuah, El Acher Chalukas Tainas HaNevim LeNevuah. We have to first think about the different types of claims, tainus of Nevuah, and how do you amaze them? How do you certify that this is real? And by the way, in case this sounds a little bit far out, like how could this be so central, bear in mind that a Navi is a particular example. Let's bring this home a little more. Let's make this a little more relatable. Nevuah is a specific example of spiritual experience. It's a very high spiritual experience. A spiritual experience that often at first seems to be apart from Torah. Like there's halacha and there's nevuah. As a matter of fact, many people, as Rambam is intimating, many people incorrectly thought that nevuah is this like spiritual experience that could supersede halacha, which is exactly how some more recent religions began. Well, I'm a Navi and I had a spiritual experience and God told me that from now on, XYZ. Whether it's the founder of Christianity, the founder of Islam, the launcher of Mormonism, whatever it is. That's something that's recurred throughout the centuries. Or for that matter, Shabtai Tzvi, who came and said that I'm this highly spiritual individual and God has revealed to me I have this new spiritual insight that we should start doing Judaism differently. So really what the Rambam is talking about in broader terms is what's the relationship between halacha and spirituality. That maybe makes sound a little more lemaisa. What's the relationship between like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon is expressed in the Torah through learning Tanakh and Mishnayos and Gemara and Shulchan Aruch and broad, raw spiritual experience. So he's saying, Halach has plenty to say about Nevuah. And Nevuah has a very important role. The highest of spiritual experiences has a very important and special role within, as Rav Shailat stresses, within the halachic system. Pa'alo ba'torah, the role and the power of Nevuah within the system of halacha. Halacha speaks, like we talked about last week, Kadosh Baruch Hu has what to say, guidance for us within halacha, within Torah, about all of life. Classic, modern technologies, modern social realities, including Zionism, and including spiritual experience, the varieties of the spiritual experience. Halacha has what to say. Halacha embraces all of it. Ratzon Hashem, as he communicated to us through the Torah, has what to say about everything, including spirituality. It's not like an alternative to halacha. It's within. So how does that work? That's what we're really going to think about. People say, I'm having a spiritual experience. Where does that fit in? And he says something, and with that, his first comment will maybe resonate very well. He says, when you think about how you know who's a Navi, he says, how many people here have read any of Mark Twain's novels? Okay. How many of you have read Connecticut Yankee? Connecticut Yankee, King Arthur's Court? Exactly. Take a look inside that place. Not take a look inside the Yankee. Take a look inside the Rambam. Who Shame Choshe? Many people think, how do you know, forget for a moment specifically about Nebuchadnezzar, again, thinking more broadly about a very spiritual figure. What tells you that this is a very spiritual figure? Or specifically, what would tell you that someone's a Navi? So he says, many people think, how would you know, how did the Jews figure out that Eliyahu HaNavi was a Navi? How did the Jews figure that Shmuel was a Navi? How did they know that Yeshaya was a Navi? How did they know that Micha or Tzfanya or Chavakuk or Chagai were Navim? How do they know? And by the way, I think all or almost all the names I just mentioned are also on the Rambam's list, the 40 links in the chain. They include many names that we don't associate with the Beis Medrash, with teaching Torah as much as with providing Nevuah. But the Rambam stresses it. Tzfanya and Chavakuk and so on and so forth. They were Nevi'im, and they were Bali Musar, and they were Bali Masorah. But how do we know that Tzfanya was a Navi? How do we ever ascertain? He says, a lot of times you think, many people think incorrectly, many people think that you have to do mofsim, you have to do miracles, like Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kodesh Baruch Hu Shliach to do many amazing miracles. Many people think that you can only be a Navi if you contravene the laws of nature. If you do nisim guluyim. Eliyahu indeed does that when he performs Tchiyas HaMeisim. The Pesukim say from Lachim have plenty about the Nisim, the Mofsim, the Osos that were done by Eliyahu's Talmud, Elisha. So the Tanakh does record many striking Nisim that were done by the Nevi'im. But we make a mistake if we think that those were necessary in order to be certified as an Avi. He says, "Zeh Iker She'eino Nacham." This is incorrect. Kol ma she'asu Eliyahu v'Elisha, whatever they did, what Eliyahu did, Nisim Eliyahu did, Nisim Elisha did, v'zulasim min Avi'im, Nisim done by other Nevi'im, min ha'mofsim, v'asu zeh Elokim nevu'asim. That is not a way to, it's neither necessary nor sufficient to certify that this is, to prove that this fellow is a real Navi. You don't need it, and it doesn't help. They were already known as Nevi'im, certified Nevi'im, long before. Why are they doing these Mofsim? They should start for them. They needed them. They want to bring, there was a Tzorech that was being solved. There was a problem that was being solved miraculously. Because they were human beings who were so incredibly close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu would sometimes help them solve their problems using Nisim. Kemoshe you adu ha-tzadikim, the sigzar omer v'yakim lach. That's what the Pasuk says, that sometimes the tzadik will, tzadik goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu makayim, and sometimes the tzadik will say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need to do X, Y, Z, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come through. But the Nisim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would do Nisim to solve problems, not to demonstrate that this person is for real. You know, clearly, as Ram said, these Nisim happened long after they were accepted as Nevi'im. Clearly they need it, and it doesn't even help. The Ram goes on to say in the next couple pages the following. How do you, indeed, actually, if it's not about Nisim, and that's, by the way, the Connecticut Yankee King Arthur's Court, where the premise is that there's this Yankee, you know, someone from the northern United States, a hardened Lahavdil, Alfie Avdals, we would say Lutfak. The guy's very good with his hands and very smart and mechanically minded, and I believe the early 1900s, gets bopped over the head. This is fiction. Gets bopped over the head in some fight, and thereby somehow magically time travels back into like 1600 years to England of King Arthur's era. And this Connecticut Yankee wakes up, and suddenly he is living among Arthur and Merlin and all those fictional chavra. And Merlin claims to be a magician. But this Connecticut Yankee actually has, you know, 15, 16, 1700 years of mechanical know-how more than anyone else around him. So he basically convinces them that he is a magician, and he's a greater magician than Merlin. And then he proves it. How does he prove it? So he creates his own gunpowder because he remembers the recipe. And he goes to, there was this old monastery, I think, that had been abandoned. And supposedly there used to be a well, and it dried up. So he goes digging around and finds the well, and it's stopped up. And he rigs up the whole building with fireworks that he makes himself. And he has a long wire, and he makes a pump that he sticks into the old well. The water is too low to flow naturally. And when he snaps his finger and then surreptitiously pulls the wire, whatever it is, presses the button, all of that sends the current down the line. Then all of a sudden, all the fireworks start going off, and the whole building looks like it's lit up miraculously. And then suddenly the pump starts working, and the water starts flowing. So for him, it was just, it was a trick. For everyone else thinks that he must be, a miracle worker. In fact, he's not a magician or a miracle worker. He has mechanical know-how. So there's a lot going on in that book. But one of the many things is that it captures the fact that osos don't cut it. The fact that I do very, very impressive miracles or things that seem like miracles, took him in the Chumash in Parshas Re'eh. Just because you do miracles doesn't necessarily mean that the fellow's a real Navi. Sometimes, as a matter of fact, you might know for sure that he's not a real Navi. And that Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving us a Nisayon. Are we gonna just be impressed by the tricks, or are we gonna actually look at being what's said and figure out based on that is this fellow for real or not? So Rambam says Nevuah is not proven by Nisim. Nisim do happen. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world. So Nisim are certainly possible. If Kadosh Baruch Hu created the entire universe, obviously Kadosh Baruch Hu can at His will suspend nature, suspend physics, suspend chemistry, whenever he wants to. Kadosh Baruch Hu certainly could do any nes that he wants to. And sometimes, occasionally, he does do nisim. But nisim, or what appears to us to be nisim, aren't necessary to demonstrate that someone's a Navi. And they're also not adequate to demonstrate that someone's a Navi. So how do you know? How do you know? So Rama goes on to say in the next couple pages, there are basically three things that you're looking at. Number one is, let's look at his taina. A fellow comes and says, I got nevuah. Comes to the base and I got nevuah. So the first thing we want is, Rama first discusses, well, what's the fellow saying? Is his content possible? Number two, I want to look at the person, because Chazal have what to tell us about what sort of person is eligible to be a Navi. Is a person of great Chachman, a person of great Yerushalayim, and so on and so forth. Several different criteria. So you want to look at the message. Is the message a possible Nevuah? Is the person a possible Navi? And then, if the message is potentially okay, the person is potentially okay, then we're going to put him through the test. So then we're actually going to do the litmus test and see, indeed, is he a Navi or not? So those are the three pieces that Rambam talks about. For now, let's lay out very briefly what Rambam talks about over the course of a couple of pages, just piece number one, the message. The initial message, is it even possible that this is Nevuah? The Rambam first breaks possible potential Nevuos down into two categories, but then breaks them down into four categories. The first category is, he starts in page Chavtez, going to page Lamed, is a fellow comes, an impressive Jew comes, and says that I got a message from an Avodah Zarah. Jupiter spoke to me. He comes and says, Yashka spoke to me. And Yashka told me that you should do X, Y, and Z. So that's category number one. That's one type of misnabe b'shem Avodah Zarah. You're speaking in the name of an Avodah Zarah. We call that a Navi Hasheka. We reject it on its face, and that's a capital crime, to be a Navi Hasheka. To be a Navi b'shem Avodah Zarah. Category number two is a fellow comes and says, God spoke to me, but God told me that we should worship Avodah Zarah. God told me that we should all join the Taoist religion. God told me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Elokei Yisrael, a fellow comes and says, Hashem Elokei Yisrael spoke to me and told me we should all stick pins into voodoo dolls. Or for that matter, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and told me that we should all go receive Mass at church this coming Sunday. That too is a misnabe b'shem Avodah Zarah. Not that you're attributing the message to the Avodah Zarah, but you say that the content was Avodah Zarah. So Rambam says, those are both misnabe b'shem Avodah Zarah, and that we reject. And then he says, category three, is he comes in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Comes in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and nothing to do with Avodah Zarah. And he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to me. And this fellow might be an impressive Talmud Chacham. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to me and told me that from now on we should keep halacha differently. From now on, some of the mitzvahs are going to change. Maybe he adds a mitzvah, maybe he subtracts a mitzvah, or maybe even just says that some of the details are changing. It used to be that Arla was 3 years, now it's 4 years. From now on, your tefillin should be, your tefillin should be round. Kadosh Baruch Hu told me b'nevuah that halacha will permanently change. Shabtai Tzvi, essentially. Or what appears to be the early days of Christianity. And it's hard to know exactly how to reconstruct things. But that sounds like that may have been how it started. A claim of nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that halacha is changing based on nevuah. So that's category three, and all three categories are rejected. We're rejecting someone who claims to speak in the name of any power other than Ribbono Shel Olam. And we reject also someone who, speaking in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, either tells us to worship Avodah Zarah, even occasionally, on a one-time basis, or someone who comes and says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me b'nevuah that halacha is meant to be changed.
It says
permanently.
Permanent.
And then finally, he comes to the fourth zone. The fourth zone, which is of the four versions, the fourth zone is potentially a nevuah, not rejected on its face, is where a Navi comes and speaks in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and does not tell us to permanently change the halachic system. He might just come and tell us, keep halacha, zichru Torah Moshe Avdi, or just give us Musar. Or he might give us neutral political or military advice, as many Nevi'im did. Yishayahu said specific things about Chizkiyahu, about how you should and should not redo the waterworks around Yerushalayim, and whether Elisha tells the Melech Yisrael who he should and should not attack militarily, and so on and so forth. Or a Navi might even say on a temporary basis, on a one-time basis, we're going to temper. HaKadosh Baruch wants us temporarily violate the halacha, haras shah. An example of that, the Gemara Yevamah Mishnah Tzadi points to, is a story that we've come across in the past in learning Mesillas Yesharim. Hopefully, a pasuk you've come across in the past in learning Sefer Melachim, and that's Eliyahu b'Har Carmel. Eliyahu gets a nevuah that he's to go up Har Carmel and have this massive show, very dramatic and effective, impactful certainly, showdown with the Nevi'i HaBaal. But what does he do at the end of the story? And they each have a Mizbeach, and the Nevi'i HaBaal spend most of the day trying to bring down fire from Shamayim. Baal doesn't exist, obviously it doesn't work. And then Eliyahu says, okay, now I'm going to try. He dives to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and a fire comes down from Shamayim, and incinerates the whole carbon, draws up all the water, etc., etc. And people are very taken by it. Hashem Elokim, that's where the line comes from. Hashem Elokim, we say at the end of Yom Kippur, comes from the response of the Jewish people on Har Carmel. Very, very beautiful, powerful story. The kasha is, but he did not there. It's a chi of kares. To bring a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash. The Heter Bamos ended permanently at the time of the construction of the first Beis HaMikdash. Kilavosam ha'atel ha'manuch ha'val ha'nachala. The Torah tells, the Chumash tells us, you for the first couple of centuries you'll have a Heter Bamos, up until a permanent Beis HaMikdash is established. Once you have Beis HaMikdash Yerushalayim, from then on you can never ever again bring Karbanos anywhere else. Iser Bamos Li'olam. So Eliyahu lives long after the construction of the first Beis HaMikdash. He brings a Karban, a Har HaKarmel. Shochet Bachutz, Mala Bachutz, Chiyuve Karis. What's going on? So it was a beautiful impact. He was machzir people b'tshuva, but how is he allowed to do a Yisuri Karis? You know, to machzir people b'tshuva. So the answer, the Gemara says, is exactly. That a Navi can get, it's possible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has not precluded the possibility that he will give a Navi instructions to temporarily violate a halacha. Not to permanently change a halachic system, but to say, for today I want to do something different. And that's something the Rambam expands on. So that's the first stage. We'll talk some more about that next time, as well as what sort of person could be a Navi. And finally, the question of, if we're not looking for Nisim, Nisim are neither necessary nor to help, so how do you know that a person is Navi? A different and logically far more attractive approach, based on the Psukim in Re'ei and Shoftim, that also have a lot to do with how we look at some other things as well. We'll come back to that, Mirtz Hashem, going forward.